Hello, welcome to the Cosmetic Course podcast. We're going to have a bit of a role reversal today, and Ron Myers from the consulting rooms is going to ask me questions rather than me normally asking him questions. So, hello, Ron.
Hi, Adrian.
So we talked a little bit about the PIP issue.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been fascinating tracking it from the consulting room's perspective, looking at the news, and we've written some articles on this as well over the last few months. And I mean, there are a number of issues that this raises, and particularly, I think, partly because of the breast implant register, which the demise of that, which was shelved by the government in 2006, has certainly made it harder for anyone to know exactly who actually has these PI implants and who doesn't. And I understand that you're keeping a record of all the explantations of PIPs that you're doing, so you're trying to retrospectively gain records via these women and the batch numbers from their PIP implants. So it'd be interesting to look at what you've learned so far. How many explantations have you actually now performed?
Well, I personally have performed 61.
Okay.
In the last 3 months, really. So, you know, since January, it all sort of kicked off in January. And I think we've got another sort of 40 or 50 booked in the next couple of months. And our group, so that's we've got a number of other plastic surgeons, Mark Scott, Miles Berry, and our other surgeons. In total, we've removed 150 implants, so we're keeping all of that data.
And what kind of data have you actually gathered in terms of the state of the implants with regards to rupture, leakage, or, you know, general degradation so far?
Well, basically, Ron, I mean, the history of PIP implants is that PIP were a company in France. They made saline implants. Silicone implants were banned in France until, I think, 2001. And then when the ban was released, they started making silicone implants. So they started really quite quickly. And then, they initially got, I understand it, sort of authorization, and they're okay by the regulatory authorities because they were using the right type of silicone. And then probably the implants got worse and worse over time. And, you know, even some of the quite recent implants, you know, have got problems. One from 2007, 2008, 2009 are some of the worst performers. So essentially what we're finding is approximately 20 to 25% of the women with PIP implants will have one or the other side ruptured.
Okay.
And of the remaining 75%, between 65 and 70% have significant gel bleed, and between 5 and 10% have relatively normal implants. And it's probably the ultra high, the implants with UH on the back means ultra high.
Yeah.
We've noticed they seem to be performing better with less gel bleed.
And out of these women as well that you're explanting, how many need any sort of form of additional surgery in terms of like capsulectomy or lymph node removal?
Right, well, this is the big issue. So, I mean, there have been guidelines from our board, you know, the plastic surgery board, which basically say if the patient has small lymph nodes, leave them. If they've got large lymph nodes, bigger than sort of 1 to 2 centimetres, remove them. Because as you know, Ron, there are potential problems with removing lymph nodes from the armpit. You can get swelling.
Absolutely.
And things. So small lymph nodes leave, big nodes remove. And if the implant is ruptured, to perform a capsulectomy. And a capsulectomy basically involves removing the capsule, which is the eggshell type lining around the implants, and also biopsy the capsule. But if the implant just has moderate gel bleed, patients don't need a full capsulectomy.
Okay.
The reason for that really is, Ron, that the capsule, many of these women are quite small busted, so removing the capsule is a bigger operation, more bleeding, more bruising, and also, you know, you are removing breast tissue, so you're reducing the amount of native breast tissue they have.
Right, which obviously isn't the aim.
Yeah. I would just say that these implants, basically, the first surgeon who noticed there was a problem with them was in 2005. He's called Brooke Berry. He's from up in the Newcastle area. And he'd noticed an implant which had completely exploded, pretty much. And he's a very experienced surgeon. He reported a case report that he'd never seen an implant like this. And since then, we've seen a number of these exploded implants. And what's really interesting, if you look at some of our videos on the website, you know, Aurora Clinics, you'll see...
You've got a lot on there. It's really interesting.
Yeah. So we're videoing every operation. But you'll see some of them that are ruptured. As soon as you go into a ruptured one, as soon as you cut into the eggshell capsule, a sort of milky, creamy, horrible, pussy fluid comes back.
It does look pretty disgusting, actually.
Yeah. That's you only get that if they're ruptured. So if they're ruptured and that silicone inside mixes with the body fluids, that's when you get this horrible creamy material. Some of the ones we're finding are most of the ultra high ones, and that is basically there's no or very minimum silicone gel bleed because the barrier layer, the fluorinated layer, is intact.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them have significant gel bleed, and that basically means that the gel's leaking through and it's sticky on the outside, and in some cases you actually can collect the gel, it sort of pours out. And the third sort of big group of patients is the ones with the ruptured implants who have the body fluid seeking in, and for some reason the type of silicone used makes this creamy material, which we've never seen in any other type of implant.
Because this is interesting, isn't it? I mean, if you look at this as well, I mean, some of these implants may still have medical-grade silicon in, and some of them haven't. So do you think it's the non-medical-grade silicon ones that have ruptured that you think you're seeing this milky sort of fluid in, or is there no difference if they ruptured, they're going to cause this problem in everyone?
I think it must be the silicone inside, because essentially there are only two makers of medical-grade silicone in the world. Both are in America, and yeah, all implant companies either buy off one of these companies. Now, they were buying silicone from other, from German companies, weren't they, which weren't medical-grade, because...
That's right.
Essentially, because it was cheaper.
So
all the other implants we're dealing with have the medical grade silicone, doesn't seem to create this sort of creamy material.
Yeah.
But it just seems odd that we're only seeing the creamy material with these PIP implants.
So are you sending any of these implants or their contents away for any kind of testing?
Well, this is interesting. The MHRA has probably been a little bit slow to act, in my opinion. 2 weeks ago, we got all the plastic surgeons were sent a form via BAPRAS and BARPS saying that, for every PIP implant removed, we needed to fill out a form with the batch numbers and the state of the implant. And we're doing that from now. However, I think... there were a lot of implants removed in January and February. Now we're in March, and this we only got this document in the beginning of March. So we probably missed 2 months of data, unfortunately.
Right. Okay. And the MHRA and the expert group, they still believe that there isn't sufficient evidence of harm to recommend routine explantation of these PRP implants. And based on what you've seen over the last few months, do you agree or disagree with them?
Well, I think it's difficult. Essentially, if you have a scan, an ultrasound or an MRI, and it shows they're ruptured, there's probably no doubt you should have them removed.
Yes.
I think everyone would agree with that. The problem is the gel bleed, which the majority of our patients have. Now, that can't really be seen on MRI or ultrasound. You can get a hint of it. So the question is, what is this gel doing? Is it causing problems? And I don't think anyone really knows. So the attitude in sort of France, Czechoslovakia and Germany has been, better be safe than sorry and recommend that they're removed.
Yeah.
But in England, we're sort of saying, well, there's no real evidence they should be removed. Let's sit tight and see the evidence. So
really they're ignoring this. You're reporting probably around sort of 50-60% gel bleed, and they're kind of ignoring that aspect of the argument, aren't they?
Yeah, and I don't think no one really knows what the implications of gel bleed are, because you need lots and lots of studies, you need lots and lots of time.
Yeah.
First of all, you need to know who's got the gel bleed. Secondly, you need to look at the tissue, look at the capsule, analyze the capsule. And the thing we're also not doing is no one's asked me for these implants to have a look at and, analyse the shell. So you can very easily see how many layers are on the shell. As you know, implants are made by dipping, Ron, and there should be a number of layers, including the fluorinated layer. And what I think we should be looking at is, what exactly is the quality of these implants, what exactly is the quality of the shell in the different batches. Are you aware of anyone doing that, Ron?
Well, no, and I must admit, if you're not aware, you're really at the sharp end of this, and it obviously seems as the MHRA aren't providing any route to, say, presumably send these implants anywhere for testing, then presumably, I guess they're just being thrown away, is that right?
Well, they're being given to the patients, because a lot of these patients are looking to have litigation against the original company.
Right.
So they are requested by their solicitors to keep the implants. So
yes.
So they normally would have the implants themselves. We would give the implants to the patients. Now, litigation's an interesting issue because these PIP implants were very cheap. The main reason the companies used them is because they were much, much cheaper than normal implants.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the major manufacturers, Mentor, Nagel and Allergan, so they couldn't make their implants for what PIP was selling them for. So they were cheap, that increased profit margins for the company. Now, but they were regulated. So the companies are saying, well, this was a regulated implant, it was CE marked, I don't really see